This week's interview is with Olaf Lenk of the band Advance. And Olaf, tell us about what's going on with the band right now and what you are what you guys are currently up to.
Okay, right now we just played Vienna, and we had a show in Netherlands coming up, but we couldn't do it. Some organizational problems, but it's going to be just moved into autumn. We're going to have some more shows coming up. And in Vienna we played some of the material from the album for the first time live, even before the album was released. And the fans reacted quite well to it, and so I'm looking forward to it. As far as I can see, the video and the albums, so yeah, it's receiving good reviews. People really like it, and it's got, I think now after 4 days, 16,000 hits on YouTube, so that's kind of cool, really nice.
I have to say, I really, really like this album quite a bit, and I like it better than the last one. And what's the response been so far to the new Advance?
It's much more. It's much more response. It seems that the fact that the sound is more powerful and the production is better, that the people really, really realize this factor. And just help the music to come across better.
Now, Olaf, you have a lot of albums out, about 10 records out now, and the one thing that you don't have right now in your catalog is an actual live album. And if you thought about recording a live record?
Yeah, we have, actually. We recorded one track live, Broken Vow. We released it on the 7th album. But I'm trying to do that because the material goes really well, and the band plays really good at the moment. So I'm trying to record some of the shows, what we got to do in the future, and then make like a live thing.
Now, right now, I haven't really heard the entire album. In fact, I've only heard a couple of songs. But if you had to compare this record, say, to the last two, how would you compare it? How would it differ, and how would it compare to the last couple of Advance releases?
I think it's much more in the Evil and You, Only Human vein than the last two albums. I don't know what it is, but it's a bit more positive, I think. And songs are stronger. I think the riffs in itself and the songs are stronger. It's much more compact, and I think Rick and Casey on the drums, they did just an awesome job. It's so good for the music. They do it so well with such a good sound. So yeah, that's the main difference. But it goes really into the direction of the Evil and You album.
So maybe sort of like, you know, the production of that album.
Yeah. Same. It's a bit more rough, I think. Mm-hmm. Guitar orientated, a bit more hard rock orientated, I would say. So that fits our music.
Yeah, you know, from the production standpoint, I thought the Evil in You is one of the best sounding albums you guys have ever put out, and I really have always liked the production and the sound of that record.
The drums are really pretty powerful there too. When it starts off with Fallen Angel, and then Evil in You, it's like it has a kind of this edgy drum sound with a lot of bass, but still very much punch. So it kind of turned out really well, I think, this time.
Now, you talked earlier about playing some shows, and where do you guys plan on playing at, and do you have any type of tour dates that you can confirm for everybody at the time of this interview?
Are we going to play in Europe in September? We have two shows coming up in July, also in Germany. Then we have some more shows in September, which will be in Munich, which will be in Mannheim, and I think two more. I think the other one will be in Innsbruck, which is Austria, and then Vienna again in September also. And at the moment, I'm really trying to get a tour together to maybe finally play South America or a few dates in the US. I have contact with some other bands. We can do like maybe an exchange thing that they come over for some shows and we come over there. But we have to figure that out. It's a bit complicated with the organization, and it's just a money thing. I mean, it kind of made me sad on the Friday when the album was released. You could download it on RapidShare, and I just think people have to understand that it doesn't work like it. If they want to see the band live, then they shouldn't do it. But yeah, maybe it takes a bit more time, and I'm trying to do my best to bring the band out live to the people with less money if possible. I can manage, but yeah, it's still fun to do, and as long as it's fun to do, I'm going to do it.
Well, with record sales taking the hit that they are, it's really hard for bands to measure how successful they are, because you don't know how many people have downloaded the record and liked the record. You know, you have the amount of people that bought it, but you really don't know how many people really like the band. And do you see websites such as Facebook and stuff, do you see people measuring the amount of likes you have from certain areas as a way to measure your success in a certain area?
Yeah, the thing is, it's a different kind of thing. You have two types of fame, which the one type of fame brings you a bit of money, which makes it easy to live, and the other type of fame brings you, in a way, just respect from the people, but not no physical effect where we can like continue making albums. That's what's important. It's not about making millions or thousands out of it. It's about being able to take the time and do another album or more albums. That's the point.
Well, I think everything's changed so much, too. And, you know, with the downloading thing, it's really hard to gauge a band's success because you don't have solid record sales to tell you, hey, this is how many records we sold here and there in this country, in that city, whatever. And the other thing about the downloading thing, people don't even take into account is that, yeah, the labels are losing money. But, you know, the other thing is that people are actually losing jobs. People are losing their job because people are downloading illegally. And I don't think many illegal downloaders even realize this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a long, long, difficult topic. I mean, I would say have the idea maybe to do YouTube similar than Facebook, have it like an account where you could log in and have, like, say, 1 month you have 10 videos free you can watch, and then you can buy more videos for a few cent, whatever, and then it should work. Then the quality should erase immediately. I think that would be a way to get some money out of it. I mean, that's the platform what the people are going to use, but it just matters how they work with it to understand it.
Now let's talk about the title of the record. I think there's a significance, Facing the Enemy, and what's its significance behind this title and what inspired it, and give us a little background on why you named the album.
Yeah, I think it's a big topic to write about. Everybody has their own enemies, like if it's the weight, if it's the age, if it's drugs, then if it's whatever. And I realized that the more that you face your enemy, your personal enemies, the better your life gets, and you can work with it a lot better. And that's what the song, in a way, is about. I mean, but most of the time, the people think it's it's about relationships, and it can be. It's a big point, of course, when two people don't go on well together. But I also think it's about more general way, like I just said, it's to face your daily fears.
Now, we were talking online a little while back, and you were talking about another project, and you sent me some tracks with you singing on some different types of music, actually different type of music than Advance. Are you doing the singing yourself? And maybe give us a little background on that project and what you have going on with that right now.
Yeah, I think I played so many different music throughout the years, and I realized that people don't see me as the artist I hope or I think that I am, and what I like to play, because there's so much music out there that I really like to do. And the main thing for me is to play with passion. I mean, no matter what type of music you do, if you play for adult people, if you play for kids, if you play pop, rock, blues, jazz, whatever, as long as you like it and play with dedication, and then it sounds good. I mean, I think the people put the border so hard. You know, when you have a guitarist like me, they think, okay, he's not allowed to play jazz. And, I mean, that's kind of, I don't know, you know, it doesn't mean that I don't like rock anymore.
Yeah.
I've always liked rock. But it's just, you have, like, you play 2 hours of rock, and then you need, like, a like a dose of jazz to spice up your day, and maybe 10 minutes of reggae, whatever. I mean, it's about happiness, that you feel good, you know. And if you do like a thing 24 hours a day, same, and then if it bores you, for some people it's enough. I think it's a matter of the intellect, what you have, what you desire to do, what you feel to do, different things, and not specialize in one thing. Like in sports, you have specialists in one profession, and then again you have the more stuff where you have 10 things what you're going to do, or biathlon with 3 things or whatever. So that's the same thing to me.
Well, you know, I've been a fan of At Vance for quite some time. In fact, ever since the Dragon Chaser album came out, you know, I have really, really liked this band. And over the years, with each release, the one thing that's kept me hooked on At Vance over the years is the fact that none of your albums sound the same. In fact, I can go and say every single record sounds quite different from the other. And, you know, do you attribute the fact that your albums do sound different to the fact that you like different types of music out there?
Yeah, it really does. It does a lot. And the other thing, what I think is, I really do work a lot on my changes on the chords that I use, the type of inversions. That's a big thing to me, to make up new songs, new atmosphere. Maybe it's that. And then again, like you said, many styles, many different bands, many types of music. So that comes in different writing, yeah, of course. But I received lots of comments on my vocals. What I do, and Rick always calls me like a klitterpinne, which means in translated, it's a Swedish name, like someone who can sing these soft type of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just my voice fits to that, and I just like to do it. So I mean. And it's fun to do, so I do it.
Awesome. Do you plan on maybe putting anything out, like doing those types of that type of music?
I'm working now right now on a project which is a bit different. We do like a 3-piece band where I play guitar and sing, and it's a bit more in the Richie Kozen, Mother's Finest, Glenn Hughes type of stuff.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. A bit bluesy, Hendrix vibe, which so with some funky guitars, and that's what I'm recording, composing right now.
You know, it's a well-known fact, too, that metal music over in Europe has thrived for a number of years now. And, you know, for those who don't know, metal music's huge in Europe, at least as far as a fan concern is. And is it still doing well? And how well is this music doing over there still?
Okay, it grows. It's so big. It's so many bands out there. Some smaller bands, which are really good. And you have the big mainstream area with a lot of crap out there, in my opinion. But the underground scene with smaller bands with different styles, it grows and gets a good fan base and all different kinds of styles. And I mean, it's not so much about fast guitar playing anymore or so. I think it's more about songs nowadays, and about melodies, about seeing the band live, like really 4 or 5 guys which are in a band together, not in a project. That's what it's in my opinion, it's about.
Well, you were talking about Rapid Share earlier and how the album was out on Rapid Share, you know, a couple weeks before the release of the record. And, you know, do you think it's going to come to a point, especially with all these sites, there's really no way to control what happens yet as far as a lot of these websites go? And do you foresee a day where people will just completely stop paying for releases and they're just going to go and download it from whatever site they want to download it from, and musicians won't make any money off of the actual music itself? And, you know, if so, are you going to still continue to make music through this type of thing, you know, when it eventually does happen?
I don't know. I'd rather, if that happens, that I would rather just play for my friends at the beach, go up with the boats, which is because it takes away so much time, you know. And
mm-hmm.
It's I think then there's already 10 advanced albums, and so if it's that would use just the time to play live, maybe, and not record new albums, do shows with the band, and only this.
Yeah.
But I really like to compose, so would be a difficult thing for me to, if the whole money thing stops totally. I mean, it's just very, very small at the moment. And, yeah, we have to see to which point it comes, you know, where the record companies have to go. They have a tough time, too, record companies.
Yeah.
Something that I've noticed, especially the last couple of years, is that many bands are just ditching the record label. In fact, they're not even going with the record label, and they are doing everything themselves and producing the discs themselves. And, you know, have you ever thought about doing this? Have you ever thought about just writing, recording everything yourself like you've been doing and, you know, just releasing it?
Yeah, but then again, you have all the distribution, you have to speak to the people, you have the, yeah, like, you have the artwork. It's all a social system, you know. You have to have people who work on the artwork, who have people who work on the production and all that. It's a whole industry, and I think it's important to have that industry, to have people working in that industry, because not everybody can be a musician. And if everybody can easily do records, then the level of the records, of the music, is so hard to define which is good, which is not good. Then you have maybe a good guitarist playing with the drummer, and you don't have really, because they just say, yeah, we just produce another album, we don't get any money for it anyway, so just put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I think the quality is going to leak big time if that happens.
Well, with many of these bands putting out stuff themselves, you know, some people will agree, and some people have said this, but do you believe that because of more self-productions, that the quality of the sound of the productions is going down?
Yeah, of course, sure. I mean, my biggest example is, like, tell me, is there any band out there which is, like, comparable to Queen or Deep Purple or Black Sabbath nowadays? Like, and that's, what would you think when 20 years, when the people talk about? That's hard to see. I mean, but it is like, so great bands, Dio, Rainbow, all these amazing bands. It's like, whereas nowadays, Megadeth, like, it's that the real metal band, a real big band, but it's more about the singer now.
Yeah.
Nowadays. And it turns into project type of characters, because they can't pay the musicians, so they have to do some other jobs in music business, like in the factory and technical stuff and all that. So it's a difficult thing to see. And if you have all the big bands who've been together a long time in the same constellation, and that's what makes up the sound of a band. The same people trying to be creative, which is going to be harder after a few years. If you wrote like 7 albums, it's hard to get the same five guys together and be fresh and approach a new approach for material, 5 characters. But that's this kind of fight makes up the sound of a band.
Mm-hmm. Well, Olaf, my last question for you, as usual, as I end all my interviews with, do you have any last questions, or last words, I guess, not questions, but last words to say to all the fans that'll be checking out this interview?
Yeah, I'd say it's always such a great fun to record and compose this music, and it's just a wonderful thing when you see the people react, and I just love to go out there and play live and have to talk with the fans, actually, when we play and have a beer. It's so much fun to do it, and you see the people like your music and they listen to it and they get something out of it. That's what it's about for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you all who bought the album or listens to my music. Thanks.
Awesome.